This week's Parsha is Parsha's Tetzaveh, and the beginning of Parsha's Tetzaveh, the Pasuk says, on chapter 27, Pasuk number 20, Ve'ato Tetzaveh Bnei Yisrael, and you should command the children of Israel, Ve'ikcho Elecho, they should take to you, Shemen Zayis Zoch, pure olive oil, Kosis Lamor, pressed for illumination, Lahalois Ner Tomit, to kindle a lamp continuously. All the Meforshim are bothered by the language Ve'ato Tetzaveh, and you should command Ve'ikcho Elecho, they should take to you Shemen Zayis. Why does it say in the language Ve'ato Tetzaveh, and you should command the Jewish people to bring you this oil? The whole Mishkan was told to Moshe Rabbeinu how to build, and in the whole Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu gave over to the Jewish people how to build that Mishkan. Why here specifically it's written that Ve'ato Tetzaveh, and you should command the Jewish people to bring the oil? Why is this different than the rest of the Mishkan where it's written Vasisa, you should do, which means Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to do and Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people to do? Here it seems like the Torah is very careful to make a commandment of Ve'ato Tetzaveh, you should command. Also, why is it written Ve'ikcho Elecho, you should take to you Shemen Zayis Zoch? It should just say Ve'ikcho, and they should take for the Mishkan Shemen Zayis Zoch. Why is it necessary to say the words Elecho to you? What is it alluding to? The Ramban explains that this commandment was specifically necessary regarding the oil. Meaning, since we know that the oil is a consumable, meaning that it's something that you use and then you don't have any more oil, and since in the inauguration of the tabernacle there was special oil that was brought specifically by the Nesim, as the Pasuk brings down in chapter 35, Pasuk number 27, the Nesim were the ones that brought the Shom stones and the Miluim stones, Lo Eifon Velachoshen, for the Eifon and for the Choshen. And then Pasuk number 28 says, Vesaboisem, and they brought the spices, Vesashemen Lamor, and the oil for illumination, meaning the oil for the menorah, Uleshemen Amishcha, and for the oil of anointment, which all the vessels and the Kohanim were anointed, Velektoriz Asamim, and for the incense spices. Then you would have thought that once this oil is consumed, you don't have to bring any more oil. Therefore, the Torah is to tell you, Ve'ato Tetzaveh, you have to command the Jewish people that they have to make sure that there is always oil for the menorah. And the Rashbam explains a little bit better, and he explains based on Rashi, on Parshas Tzav, which is Vayikra chapter 6, Pasuk number 2, where there it says, Tzaves Aharon ves bonav leimor, command Aharon and his children, saying, there the Pasuk is speaking about the Ola sacrifice, the elevation offering, where Rashi says, Ein Tzav elo loshon zirus, that Tzav means a language of alacrity, a language to make sure that you always do it, miyad, right away, ule doiros, and for all generations. The Rashbam says that we see whenever Hashem puts the language Tzav, Hashem means to tell you that I want this to apply now and for all future generations. Therefore, because this oil was originally given by the Nesim, and you may have thought that you don't have to continue lighting the menorah, after this oil is consumed, Hashem puts the language Ve'ato Tetzaveh, and you should command the Jewish people, meaning that you should command the Jewish people to do now, and also all future generations that they have to bring oil for the menorah and make sure that it's always illuminated. And Rashi's words on Parshas Tzav, Omar Rab Shimon, Beyoiser Tzorech HaKosov Lazarus, that much more the Torah has to command you, has to reiterate to you, B'mokim sheyesh boi chisoron kis, where there is a loss of money, meaning Rab Shimon is trying to explain why does Hashem have to warn specifically the Kohanim that the Kohanim should bring the elevation offering. And according to certain interpretations, Rab Shimon is saying that the Kohanim need this special warning because there is nothing in the elevation offering that benefits the Kohanim, meaning since an elevation offering is completely consumed on the altar, the Kohen doesn't get any part of the animal and the owner doesn't get any part of the animal, then the Kohen may think that he shouldn't do it or he should delay doing this because there is no benefit to him. Therefore, the Torah tells Tzaves Aharon, command Aharon, that he should nonetheless do it, and he requires to have a specific warning to bring the elevation offering. According to this, in our situation also, where you bring oil for the menorah and the oil is consumed, nobody gets any benefit from the light of the menorah. As the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chav Beis Omed Beis says, did you require to have the light of the menorah for illumination? All the 40 years that the Jewish people went into the desert, they only went through the illumination of the clouds of glory and the pillar of fire, meaning that by day we had the clouds of glory to protect us, and by night we had the pillar of fire which provided us illumination. As the verse in Shmos chapter 40, Pasuk 38 says, that the clouds of Hashem would be on the tabernacle by day and fire would be on it at night, then why do we require to have also the light of the menorah? Tosfos brings a beraisa in Meleches HaMishkan that a person would look in a bottle and would be able to see what's inside the bottle, then obviously we didn't need the light for illumination. The Gemara continues, Elu Eides Hu Leboi Olam, this is a proof for those who come into the world, meaning for the proof for everybody, Shehashchina Shoyre BeYisrael, that the Shechina is within the Jews, meaning the fact that we brought the oil to the menorah was a proof for everybody that Hashem is within us. The Gemara asks a question, May Eidus, what is the proof? Omar Rav, Rav says, Zu Ner Maravi, this was the Western candle, Shenoisem Ba Shemen Kemidas Chaveroiseya, that you put the oil in the same amount as the other ones, Umimenu Ayom Adlikim, from that we started to Va Ayom Messiahim, and with that we used to finish. Meaning that in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan we had a menorah that had 7 candles. And in each candle we put a wick and we put oil in it. In this Ner Maravi, this Western candle, which there is a machloikas which one that was, but nonetheless, that candle was always miraculously lit. Meaning that normally the oil was enough to last through the night, and in the morning it used to be extinguished, and the Kohen came and used to have to fix the next night the candles, but this Ner Maravi was miraculously still lighting, and then from that used to start and light the other candles, and then used to change the wick of this Ner Maravi and light from the old one this new one every night. And the Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Tes Omed Aleph says that even in the days of Shimon HaTzadik, which was the beginning of the Second Temple, still was Ner Maravi Doilek that this candle lit. And this miracle proved to everybody that the Shekhinah is in Israel. Meaning the Gemara is saying that really we don't need those candles for illumination. The candles are only there to prove to everybody that the Shekhinah, that Hashem's divine presence, still rests amongst the Jews. When the Jewish people misbehaved, then that candle was extinguished. Obviously, we didn't need the light. Then you may have thought, since you don't need the light, then you're wasting the oil. In the same way as the oil offering, the elevation offering, you don't get any benefit from it, then you would have thought that you shouldn't do it. Therefore, you're required to have the language, V'ato Tetzaveh, that Hashem is commanding us, that even though it seems like you wasting it, nonetheless, there is a very important purpose. And according to the Gemara, the purpose is that everybody will see that the Shekhinah, that Hashem is within us, from the fact that the Western candle is burning the whole time. Then the Ramban continues, it says, V'tam eilecho, and the reason that they have to bring to you, because the Pasuk says, V'ato tetzava, you should command, as Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, V'ikho eilecho, they have to bring to you. So the Ramban says, Shevi'u lefanov, that they are required to bring to him, meaning to bring to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'hi yurenu, and Moshe Rabbeinu will see, Imuzach v'kosis karoi, if it's pure and crushed the proper way. On this Ramban, we have a very important question. Why did Hashem specifically command the Jewish people that they have to bring the oil for the menorah to Moshe Rabbeinu to see if it's properly crushed and pure the proper way? Why in any other vessel of the Mishkan, Hashem does not command the Jewish people to bring in front of Moshe Rabbeinu for him to see if it's done the proper way? Plus, Moshe Rabbeinu is not an oil expert. Then why specifically by the oil Hashem told the Jewish people that Moshe Rabbeinu has to inspect it and make sure that it's properly crushed and pure? For example, by the gold, even though it's written that it has to be pure gold in a lot of the vessels of the Mishkan, nonetheless, we don't see anywhere that Moshe Rabbeinu was required to inspect the gold to ascertain that it was pure the proper way. Then why, by the oil, Moshe Rabbeinu is required to go and check if it's done the proper way? And the answer could be based on the Yalkut in Parshas Baloischa. The Yalkut on Bamidbar, Remes Tov Shin Yud Tes Ches. On the Pasuk there, V'zeh Masa Menorah, this is the works of the Menorah. The Yalkut says, what does it mean, V'zeh, and this is? Every time it says the word Zeh, means that we're pointing or showing something. As Rashi says on Shemos Boy, chapter 12, Pasuk number 2, where it says, Achodesh Hazeh Lochem, that this month is to become to you the first of the month. And it's written the word Hazeh, this month. Rashi explains that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the moon as it was starting, meaning as soon as the moon was renewing itself, and Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that he should sanctify the moon at this point. And then Rashi Hazeh, this, Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time understanding how the moon is when it's renewed. That's the simple interpretation on that Rashi. Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the moon, and he says, Kazer A, when you see the moon this size, the Kadesh, then you should sanctify it. Meaning that if it's written the word Azeh, that means that Hashem had to show Moshe Rabbeinu something that he couldn't conceive by himself. Just as a side note, I explained the hardship that Moshe Rabbeinu had understanding the moon is a different hardship. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand why we have to celebrate the renewal of the moon. We know that the moon, the first 15 days of the month, it keeps going up, but the last 15 days of the month, it goes down again. And the reason that Hashem just gave us the mitzvah now of renewing the moon before any other things is because since this is the first mitzvah that we're getting, we are starting the light of the moon, that our light is going to start going up. And that bothered Moshe Rabbeinu. How can we compare ourselves to the moon? Because if we compare to ourselves to the moon, that means that we are going to go up and eventually we are going to go down. Then how can we celebrate something like that? Nonetheless, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kozer re'ei v'kadesh, that as soon as you see a Jew starting to go up in mitzvahs, even though maybe later he's going to fall, nonetheless, you have to celebrate that Jew and you have to sanctify that Jew because he's now on his way to ascension. Don't look what is going to happen later. True, maybe this Jew is going to fall, but as soon as you see somebody like that that is starting to ascend, you're required to sanctify. And that is the idea of the moon. And maybe because of that, Erev Rosh Chodesh, we always make Yom Kippur Katan, which means that we fast and we make extra prayers and we try to figure out how our last month was and repent, that in the coming month you will behave more properly towards Hashem, increase your Torah learning, your good deeds, your connection with Hashem, could be that that is the reason we do right before Rosh Chodesh, because like that we'll have a reason why to celebrate the moon, because since we are doing tshuva and we are going with a new light, then as the original time we celebrated, because we are now starting to do mitzvahs, once we repent Erev Rosh Chodesh, we are starting Rosh Chodesh by doing mitzvahs, and maybe that is the reason why the rabbis established the idea of Yom Kippur Katan, of Asmo Yom Kippur, every Erev Rosh Chodesh, every Rosh Chodesh Eve. But going back to our topic, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time understanding the moon is because it's written the word Achodesh Hazeh, this month, which means that Hashem had to point out to Moshe Rabbeinu how the month looks. So too here, when it's written Vezeh Masa Menorah, and this is the work of the menorah, the Medrash implies that Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time understanding the shape of the menorah and how to make the menorah. The Medrash continues, Melamed, it teaches you, Shara Oiso Arba Pamim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was required to see the menorah 4 times. When were the 4 times? Ra Oiso Mimshar Kol HaKelim V'Shochach, that Moshe Rabbeinu saw the menorah together with all the other vessels, and he forgot how to build. And the Zeis Ranon from the Magen Avraham explains that this is referring to the verse on chapter 25, pasuk number 9. But the pasuk there says, "Kechol asher imaru oischo," like I am showing you, "estavnis hamishkan," the form of the tabernacle, "vestavnis kol kelov," and the form of all the vessels, "vechein taso," and so you should do for all future generations, which means that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the shape and the form of the menorah, because it says that Hashem showed all the vessels and Moshe Rabbeinu forgot. V'ra'a sheinis, and he saw the second time Michal oimed u'mamtiach ba. Michal is standing and using the menorah in heaven. V'ra'a oiso neses, and he saw the third time the menorah about to be done. V'ra'a oiso asuya, and he saw the menorah completely done. So we see from here that Moshe Rabbeinu actually saw the menorah 4 times. And one of the times that Moshe Rabbeinu saw was Moshe Rabbeinu saw the menorah completely done. And since Moshe Rabbeinu saw the menorah completely done, for sure Moshe Rabbeinu saw the menorah with the oil. Then we knew that Moshe Rabbeinu knew how to properly crush and make sure that the oil is pure, because Moshe Rabbeinu saw the menorah few times and he saw at least once with the oil. Therefore, it was required to bring to Moshe Rabbeinu the oil of the menorah, because that we knew for sure that he's going to be able to tell us if it's properly done. Since he saw it so many times, it's only proper to bring it to him, because he knows exactly how it's supposed to be done. There is an interesting balaturim in this week's parsha. On the word Tetzave, that you should command, the Baal Turim says that the word Tetzave is the numerical value of Noshim Tzave, command the women, meaning that since the word Tov is numerical value 400, and therefore the Baal Turim says that Tetzave means Tov Tzave, and 400 is also the numerical value of Noshim, meaning women, because the Nun is 50, the Shin is 300, 300 plus 50 is 350, the Yud is 10, 350 plus 10 is 360, the Mem is 40, 360 plus 40 is 400. So then Tov Tzave means 400, it means the women command. The Baal Turim says, what does it mean, women command? Since this parsha is speaking about bringing oil for the menorah, so he says, Remez ladlokas aner lenashim choyva b'shabbos. This is an allusion that women are required to light the candles on Shabbos. And to explain a little better, we have to go to last week's parsha, where last week's parsha says, chapter 25, pasuk number 8, it says, "Asu li mikdash, you should make me a sanctuary, Veshochanti besoichom, and I will dwell amongst them. It doesn't say Veshochanti besoichoi, I will dwell in it. It says I will dwell in them, which means that Hashem is asking every single household that he should make a sanctuary for Hashem, that he should behave properly in his home, that he should make sure that the food that he eats is proper, that the conduct is proper, the money that he has is proper. Like that, Hashem will be able to dwell amongst them, meaning that Hashem will be able to dwell in our houses. Hashem won't be embarrassed, won't be kicked out by our behavior. And a further allusion that we have to behave properly, that the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Chav Zayin Omed Aleph 27a, brings the Pasuk in Yecheskel chapter 41, Pasuk number 22, where the Pasuk says, HaMizbeach Eit Sholosh Amos Gavoya V'Orko Shtayim Amos. The Mizbeach is made of wood, 3 cubits high and 2 cubits wide. U'Mekzois Av Loi V'Orko V'Kirois Av Eitz. And its sideboards, its corners, and its length are all made of wood. And then the next pasuk says, "Vaydaber Eli," and the angel said to me, "Zeh shulchan asher lifnei Hashem." This is the table that is in front of Hashem. Now Gemara asks a question: Posach b'mizbeach. First, it describes the mizbeach of wood, and then v'siyam b'shulchan, and then it says, "This is the table in front of Hashem." The Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish the Amre Travayu, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish that both say the same thing, that Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash Kayam, when our Beis Hamikdash, our holy temple, was standing, then Mizbeach Mechaper Al Adam, our offering on the altar, that atoned for us. If we made a sin, we brought a sacrifice, that sacrifice atoned for us. Achshav, but now that we don't have a Beis Hamikdash anymore, we can't bring offerings anymore to Hashem. Shulchano shel Adam mechaper alav, the table of a person atones for him. Meforshim explain, what does it mean, the table of a person? It means the way a person behaves on his table, the food that he eats, the guests that he invites, the speech that he says, the brachas, the blessings he makes over the food. That is the table that is in front of Hashem. That is what atones for your misdeeds. Until now, the altar atoned for your misdeeds, but now, because the Mizbeach is interchanged by the word Shulchan, how you behave in your table, that is what it atones in front of Hashem. According to both interpretations, we see that our house is like a sanctuary. If our house is like a sanctuary, then the Baal Turim says properly that this could be an allusion that women are required to light on Shabbos the candles, because since there was a menorah in the Beis Hamikdash and our house is like a sanctuary, therefore we have to make sure that we light the candles of the menorah. The question that I had on this Baal Turim is, why now does the Torah give me this allusion? Why doesn't the Torah give me this allusion previously somewhere else? And also, why is it written Va'ato Tetzave, and you should command the Jewish people? On that word exactly is that allusion. Why specifically Moshe Rabbeinu has to tell the women, and why just now? As a way of introduction, first we have to mention the famous machloikas between Rashi and Ramban regarding the Parshas Truma Tetzave. Meaning, Rashi learns that Parshas Truma Tetzave, the commandment to build a tabernacle, only came after the sin of the golden calf in Parshas Kisisa. Meaning that once we did the golden calf, we repented, and then Hashem forgave us. In order for the Jewish people and the whole world to know that Hashem forgave us, Hashem told us to build a tabernacle, and the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, will rest in the tabernacle. Then everybody, the whole world, will also know that Hashem forgave us and our tshuva and our repentance was sincere. According to Rashi, had we not done the sin of the golden calf, there was no need for the tabernacle. And Truma Tetzave happened really after Kisisa, after the description of the sin of the golden calf, but it's written before. And there are many reasons why, according to Rashi, Truma Tetzave is written before. One, to connect truma to mishpatim, to connect the giving of the tabernacle, giving money to the monetary laws in Parshas Mishpatim, meaning that we should know that only once you know the proper monetary laws, that's the only time where you could build a tabernacle, you could donate money to the temple. Therefore, since we mentioned Mishpatim previously, we're putting Truma right next to Mishpatim for you to know that you have to be very careful about your money in order to donate to the temple. Or you could say that Hashem wanted the refuah to be before the Makkah, that Hashem wanted the description of the atonement, of the healing, before we actually sinned, as we always see that Hashem's kindness is that He puts the refuah, the healing, which is a tabernacle, before the punishment of the golden calf. Or you could say that Hashem wanted to show you that even if you did a huge sin, you could still have atonement by giving your money to charity. Therefore, the golden calf is sandwiched between the commandment to build a tabernacle and the actually building of the tabernacle. But nonetheless, according to Rashi, the parshas of Truma Tetzaveh should really be after the story of the golden calf. The Ramban Nachmanides disagrees with this opinion. The Ramban believes that the Torah is chronological unless you have to say that it's not, unless you clearly have dates that prove that it's impossible to be chronological. We have to say that it is chronological. Then, according to the Ramban, the purpose of the tabernacle was for us to take the Sinai experience, the experience of Matan Torah, the experience of us seeing Hashem on top of the mountain, and take that experience with us throughout the desert, because Hashem was afraid that if we don't see that experience for a certain time, then we may forget that experience. Therefore, right after Hashem gave us the Torah at Mount Sinai, Hashem said that we should build a tabernacle, that the tabernacle should be an example, a microcosm of the Sinai experience, in the same way that at Sinai, Hashem was on top of the mountain, Moshe Rabbeinu could approach closer, Aharon, Nadav Avihu, the Zakenim could approach closer, and the Jewish people had to stay afar. So too, in the tabernacle, in the Mishkan, the Holy of Holies is designated for Hashem. Aharon could sometimes go in. The Kohanim could get closer. The Levim could get closer. But the rest of the Jewish people had to stay afar. So by us having the tabernacle, we will have that visual aspect of Matan Torah. And like that, we'll be more connected to Hashem. According to the Ramban, the commandments of Truma and Tetzaveh to build a tabernacle were given before we did the sin of the golden calf. The Torah in Orachaim Siman Resh Samach Gimel, where it talks about lighting the candles of Shabbos, says that this is the mitzvah of a woman, and he brings a Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma is in Parshas Metzora, Siman Yud Zayin, where the Medrash Tanchuma says, Tanu Rabbonon, the rabbis learned, Menayin Shechayev Odom Liyozoris Umezuros Behadlokas Aneir. How do you know that a person has to be very, very careful in lighting the candles of Shabbos? Just a side note, look at the language of the Medrash, that the Medrash says that you have to be zoris umezuros. You have to be doubly careful in lighting the candles of Shabbos. But going back to the Medrash says, how do I know that a person has to be extra careful in lighting the candles of Shabbos? The Medrash brings a pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter 58, pasuk 13. The pasuk says, "V'karosa leShabbos oinik," you should call Shabbos a delight. And a delight is when you could see the food you're eating, you could see your house. Zu hadlokas haneir, this is lighting the candle. The Medrash continues, "V'lamo nimseru leisha," why were these mitzvah of lighting the candles given specifically for a woman? The Medrash says, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, He kavsa neiro shel olam. She is the one that caused with her sin that man's light, man's candle, should be extinguished. Dichsiv, because the pasuk in Mishle, in Proverbs chapter 20, pasuk number 26 says, Ner Elokim nishmas Adam, that a candle of Hashem is the soul of man. In other words, she corrupted the soul of a man, she caused man to die. Therefore, Tishmor mitzvah neir, she should keep the mitzvah of candle. Meaning that women are required, according to the Torah, based on the Medrash Tanchuma, to light the Shabbos candles, because since she extinguished the candles of the world, and by the way, that was also on Friday, therefore on Friday she lights the candles of Shabbos. Since men sinned on Friday before Shabbos, therefore women are required to light the candles of Shabbos. There is another interesting medrash, which actually is brought down by the Ramban on Shmos, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Vav, and the medrash is in Shmos Rabbah, Lamed Beis, 32 Aleph, where the Pasuk says on chapter 32, Pasuk number 16, Valuchas Maseloikim Hema, and the Aluchas, the tablets, were the handiwork of Hashem, Vamichtov, and the writing, Michtov Eloikim, is the writing of Hashem, Chorus al Aluchos, engraved on the tablets. The Ramban brings the Medrash, which the Medrash brings in the name of Rav Nechemia, that a person should not read Chorus engraved, a person should read Chairus, freedom, meaning that the Jewish people became free from the Malach Amoves, from the angel of death. Meaning that as soon as the Jewish people said, Nase v'nishma, we will do and we will hear, we achieved such a high level that we approached the level of angels. At that point, we stopped being mortal, we became immortal, we became freed from the angel of death, and we became again mortal, meaning we became punishable by death again after we sinned in the golden calf. But had we not sinned in the golden calf, theoretically we would have been still immortal, but unfortunately we sinned in the golden calf, and that caused us to become mortal. But at the point where Hashem gave us the luchas, the first luchas, we were chayrus, we were free from the angel of death. Now, according to Rashi, that Rashi says that Truma Tetzaveh, the commandment to build a tabernacle, happened after the story of the golden calf, since they are part of the atonement to the golden calf, then comes out something very interesting. Originally, women were guilty for causing the extinguishing of the candle of the world, meaning that I understand before Torah was given that women were guilty at that point for causing death to come to the world. Therefore, women should light the Shabbos candles. But once we said Nase v'nishma, we achieved such high level, then we became immortal. If we became immortal, then the women technically should not have to light the candles anymore, because since they didn't cause the extinguishment of the light of the world, because at Matan Torah, as we mentioned, when we received the Torah, after we said Nase v'nishma, we achieve immortality. We, in a way, were able to expunge the original sin of eating the fruit of the Eitz Hadas, of the tree of knowledge, because now Hashem gave us immortality again, as it was with Adam HaRishon before the sin. Then what women did originally to cause us to sin shouldn't count anymore, because now we are again immortal. Then women at this point should not have to light the Shabbos candle, because we are still immortal. We don't have any remnants of the sin of Adam and Eve that caused us to become mortal. Now, after the sin of the golden calf, women should technically still not be obligated to light the Shabbos candles. Why? Because according to most interpreters, only men sin at the golden calf. The women did not sin at the golden calf. The Kli Yoker says this clearly in Parshas Vayakel, and the Kli Yoker's proof is from the Pasuk, because when Aharon is asking the people to give the gold for the golden calf, Aharon, on chapter 32, pasuk number 2 says, Vayomer aleihem Aharon, Aharon says to them, Pirku nizmei azov asher be'oznei nesheichem. Go, remove the gold earrings that is in the ear of your wives, b'neichem, your children, v'noiseichem, your daughters, ve'vi olai, and bring to me. And Rashi explains that this was a stalling tactic, that Aharon wanted that they should ask the women, and according to the Mefarshim, Aharon knew that the women are going to say no. Like that, he will be able to delay the making of the golden calf. But what happened? Pasuk number 3 says, Vayisporku kol ha'om esniz me'azov asher be'ozneihem, that the whole nation took the gold earrings that it was in their ears, meaning that it was in the ears of men, in their own ears. They tried to get the women to give them the jewelry, the gold, and the women said no, because the women didn't want any part of the golden calf. Then, according to this, comes out that the women did not sin in the golden calf, only the men sinned in the golden calf. After the golden calf, we became mortal again, but now it was not the fault of the women. Now it's only the fault of the men, because the men are the only ones who sinned. The women did not sin. Then technically, now the women shouldn't have to light the Shabbos candles, because the only reason the women lit the Shabbos candles is because they caused the extinguishing of the light of the world, meaning that by Chava feeding Adam the forbidden fruit, then she caused man, Adam, to become mortal, mortality to come to mankind. But now at Matan Torah, when we said Naaseh V'Nishma, seemingly that sin was expunged, since we again became immortal. Since it's written that we are free from the angel of death, that means that we became immortal again. That means that the original sin that women made was forgiven. And since the women did not sin by the golden calf, only men sinned by the golden calf, we can't say that the women were the cause for our mortality. We are our own cause for our mortality, because we sinned at the golden calf. Then technically, women shouldn't be obligated to light the Shabbos candles. Quite opposite, the men should be obligated to light the Shabbos candles, because they are the ones who caused now that the light of the world should be extinguished, meaning that they caused mortality to come to mankind. Therefore, to counteract this theory that we just brought, even while we are building the tabernacle, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the women that they still are required to light the Shabbos candles. Ve'ato tetzaveh, you should command the women that they are required to light the Shabbos candles. And the commandment came through Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you are going to command them, and then they will understand. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was also not part of the golden calf, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu was still mortal. Moshe Rabbeinu was the perfect messenger to tell the women that regardless of the sin of the golden calf, mortality still was never abolished from the world, meaning that Hashem never forgave totally the sin of Chava. Because if Hashem would have forgiven totally the sin of Chava, then Moshe Rabbeinu should not have died, since he didn't do the golden calf either. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the message to the women told the women that they still are mortal, and since they are still mortal, they are required to light the Shabbos candles, because that means that the sin of Chava, the original sin that caused death to come to the world, was not expunged. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that's giving this message immediately after the sin of the golden calf, that the women should not make a mistake and think that now they don't have to light the Shabbos candles, since technically they didn't bring back death to the world. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the women that they still are required to light the Shabbos candles. Even though they didn't sin the golden calf, nonetheless, they're required to light the Shabbos candles, because they brought death to the world. And that's why it's very good why it's written Ve'ato and you, Tetzaveh, command the women, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the perfect messenger in this case. And it's also very good the language Tetzaveh. As we mentioned, Tetzaveh means zeros, that your person should do it very carefully. And the Medrash Tanhuma that says about lighting the Shabbos candles says that a person has to be very, very careful in lighting the Shabbos candles. So Noshim Tzavei, make sure that the women are very, very careful in lighting the Shabbos candles. The Ksav Sofer in Parshas Ekev explains that you could prove from the man that the sin of the eagle wasn't as harsh as the sin of Chava. And the only reason that we stop dying is not because the sin of Chava was expunged, is because the merit of Kabbalah Satoire protected us from death. And the proof is that if the sin of the eagle would have been just as the sin of Adam, then after the eagle we should have been punished, that we should have hardship in getting our bread. The same curses that happened to Adam when he ate from the forbidden fruit, which is in chapter 3, Pasuk number 18 and 19, Vekoitz vedadar tatzmiach loch, and thorn and thistles will sprout, Bezeas apecho toichalechem, in the sweat of your brow you should eat your bread, that should happen after we sinned in the golden calf. But yet we see that after the golden calf, Hashem still gave us manna. He did not prevent us from eating man. That the sin of the golden calf isn't as harsh as the sin of Adam. The fact that we had still manna after the sin of the golden calf and even during the sin of the golden calf showed that the sin of the golden calf wasn't as harsh as the sin of Adam. Therefore, according to the Ksav Sofer, that proved that it was never expunged, the sin of Adam. It was only suspended because we accept the Torah. Then if that is true, then women have to revert back to lighting the Shabbos candles, because that sin was never expunged. And women, according to the Medrash and according to the Torah, are the cause for extinguishing the light of the world. Therefore, they have to make sure that they light the Shabbos candle in order to bring back the light to the world. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should commit ourselves to Torah learning. Then, as the Ksav Sofer explains, that the acceptance of Torah protects you from any malady, protects you from anything bad, then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.